I think Tennessee felt more deeply about Summer and Smoke than he did Streetcar. He spoke of the play as having the most original conception, but one that he had been unable to translate into dramatic terms. The dramatic terms always seemed to be categorical and formulaic rather than vital and free-flowing. One of the problems with Summer and Smoke is that it was composed at the same time that he was working on Streetcar. And if you examine the manuscripts, you can see speeches and scenes that move back and forth between the plays as the two evolved. And I think Tennessee, through that process, realized that Streetcar was a much more intensely realized play, and that dramatically it was much sounder. When one of the reviewers of Summer and Smoke, described it as a kiddie car called Conversation, that, I'm sure, confirmed Tennessee's anticipation of adverse comparisons, and it may have led him to think that Margot Jones had not shown enough foresight, that her enthusiasm was unwarranted. And I think it was that enthusiasm, that uncritical enthusiasm, that led him to worry about her ability to mount the play. Presumably, she could not see the faults, the flaws. In his correspondence with Kazan, from time to time, there is a sense that Kazan, as director, wants to clarify Williams, wants to take the moody, indecisive element and give it a kind of dramatic flourish, often to give it a kind of smash-up ending, as Williams puts it in one letter. At the same time, he realized that Kazan had tremendous vision of the stage. I don't think the Melziner setting would have been the same if Kazan had directed Summer and Smoke. Because one thing that Kazan was able to do that other directors failed to do was to choreograph stage business, stage movement, in a way that made every single moment intense. Williams deeply valued that and realized that it was an essential part of that levitation of the written page. So finally, there was, I don't think, any serious ideological conflict between Williams and Kazan. Williams would caution him, don't be too clear, because Blanche is a fundamentally mysterious woman. That's why we still attend Streetcar when it comes to town. When Tennessee was in Taos in May of 1946, just before he began to work seriously on Summer and Smoke, he had an operation for diverticulosis that was actually not a terribly serious operation, but it terrified him. And it established a kind of mentality for the next decade, almost, a sense of overwhelming fear, of anticipation, of disaster, very strong intimations of his own mortality. And Margot, at one point, without really knowing it, touched that nerve of mortality by presumably addressing the cast of Summer and Smoke in a way that suggested they were doing the work of a dying playwright. He heard about this later through Truman Capote and upset a table in his lap. And Capote realized what Margot Jones had unintentionally accomplished. In a sense, she was involved in taking a part of his life away from him, quite inadvertently. And I think that was part of the coolness and the separation that they faced after Summer and Smoke. When Tennessee had a failure on Broadway, whether it's Summer and Smoke or Camino Real, which is a more serious failure, he would write typically to Brooks Atkinson and would say, I feel as though I have been disinvited by the theater, as though I have been dismissed from this world that is so integral to my own being. So it wasn't just a failure of technique or a failure of form or a failure of casting. It was a failure of a part of William's instinct of survival. The successful levitation of a work was confirmation of his life, quite literally. Not to write was to die. Tennessee, I think, really took little from people. His relationship with his characters was much more intense. At a very difficult point in his relationship with Frank Merlo, he wondered what would happen if they should part. And he said, I'd turn him into a poem. I think some of that same logic, which is not cold or harsh or inhuman, but aesthetic, obtains in the relationship of Tennessee Williams and Margot Jones. For a period, she was important. For a period, he spoke with her about his dreams for Summer and Smoke. He cautioned her about his problems. He tried to lead her at one point into a more successful production of the play, and she was having none of it and insisted upon her rights as a director. I think thereafter he thought kindly of her and admitted her into his legion of courageous and heroic performers on Broadway. I couldn't honestly say that he was devastated by her death. I think he realized this was another passing. His reality was one of constructed worlds and constructed scenes. And if you follow the course of his associations, he went through people like Sox. But he, I think, found in her something that he found in Alma Weinmiller. In an early version of that play, Alma is triumphant after a long life of submission and repression and disappointment. There's a flowering of her spirit. I think he saw the same kind of durability and the same kind of spiritual reserve in Margot Jones. She had been battered again and again and again, as Tennessee Williams had been battered. There was a community of interest. They were both fugitives in a sense, outsiders, trying to really live the only life that they could have lived. I can't imagine Tennessee Williams doing anything other than being sort of a dissident playwright. And I can't imagine Margot Jones being anything other than a wholly committed director.